Welcome to Hello, It's Me, a podcast series for lawyers offering transformative discussions around personal and professional growth. We address the human side of lawyering in interviews, professional persona, authenticity, mental health and self-care, resiliency, and radical acceptance. The podcast is hosted by Maggie Poon and Ona Liu. In this podcast, Maggie and Ona interview Selena Lee. Selena is an executive and career coach, podcast host, and CEO of Selena Lee Coaching. She is also a lawyer and award-winning writer. We hope you will find our advice to be practical, our conversation to be engaging, and the community we're trying to develop supportive for you to thrive in both your career and personal life. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Ona.
This is Maggie.
And we're really excited to have another episode of our podcast, Hello, It's Me. And today we have a very exciting guest, Selena Lee.
So before we start off, we thought it'd be nice for you to just give a quick introduction, Selena, about you. You know, we know a little bit about your career journey, how you've had a lot of different changes, but we always think it's helpful for our guests to just sort of share with us what, you know, what they want to about their life so far and their career journey. To be pretty short intro, you know, obviously we'll get into more of it as we go on to their stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I was born in Southern California. I was born in downtown LA. This is when my dad had a job that moved him from Korea to LA. And I grew up there until I was maybe 3 or 4 years old. And then my family moved back to Korea. So I was, you know, relatively young, small toddler when I moved to Korea. And then we lived there for several years. I actually finished elementary school in Korea, just went to a local Korean school. And then when I was in seventh grade, at the end of seventh grade, our family moved back to Southern California. So went to middle school and high school in California. And then I moved to the East Coast. I went to MIT for undergrad. And then after that, my first job out of college was in investment banking. This is back at the time when, you know, finance was really hot and everybody wanted a job in investment banking if they could get it. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. I had thought about going to law school, but, you know, random things happened where I got an internship during my junior year of college at an investment bank. And then that kind of led to a full-time offer. And then I tried it out. It wasn't really what I had envisioned myself doing for the rest of my life. So I ended up going to law school. I went to UC Berkeley for law school. And then after that, I moved to New York City to work as a corporate lawyer. So I worked at a big law firm in New York City doing private equity work. Yeah. And so I guess kind of all my life, I did things that other people said was a good thing to do, you know, follow the formula for success, you know, work really hard and study a lot so you can get good grades and go to good school, get good jobs. And because I really didn't know who I was or who I wanted to become or what was important to me. And frankly, nobody taught me that that's something that we should look into or to think about, that I kind of did what everybody else thought was good. And then I learned the hard way the importance of doing work that's really meaningful to me. So it was probably the hardest time in terms of like just kind of thinking like me evolving as a human being and really finding my own path. It was actually more scary when I was done with all the things that I thought I was supposed to do, you know, get all the degrees and get all the job. And when I was working as a lawyer, I no longer had the next goal in mind. Whereas before, I always had a next goal, you know, whether it's getting to good school, getting a good job. And then because I was so fixated on a short-term goal that I could just do that. But whereas, you know, when I was working at a big law firm, I saw the bosses that I was working with, and some of them I'm still good friends with, but I just couldn't see myself, you know, doing this for the rest of my life. They've been doing the same thing for 20, 30 some years. And I was like, I don't want to be like in my 60s. And, you know, all I did with my life is review contracts to help rich people become richer. And because that's essentially what I was doing, because my clients are private equity funds, right? And I just felt like I had worked so hard in my life, and I felt like I sacrificed a lot too, because, you know, being a lawyer is not an easy thing. And I felt like I was so focused on achieving the goal And I became a person who just assisting rich people and helping them to become even richer. And I just didn't see a lot of meaning in that. So it was really tough. And I felt like I was going through a really dark tunnel that felt like it may never end. It was very kind of a strange experience in that externally I had achieved what a lot of people thought were good for my resume. You know, I was working at a big law firm and, you know, making good amount of money for how old I was at the time. And I had that prestige of the seeming prestige of working in big law, I had the paycheck and then the business card and the support staff. And, you know, we had an office in Rockefeller Center and all that. But like inside, I was more empty than ever. And I just didn't know what my next step was. And so that was the first time I kind of gave myself permission to try different things. Because up until that point, like I would only do things if I thought it was somehow going to make my resume better or help me get into better school, get a better job. So I was really limiting myself in so many different ways. And then it makes sense why I became the person who doesn't even know what she wants, because I would always get in my own way of trying different things. If you don't try a lot of different things, how can you possibly know what you might want, right? So that exploration or reflection has led me to write a book about people who had the courage to pursue their dreams. I ended up building a community called Give One Dream to inspire people to, you know, take action towards their own dreams. And then because I was kind of active in the community, I became a speaker. So I, you know, I met a lot of different people and I was invited to speak a lot of different places. And eventually I found out about the world of coaching. I didn't know anything about it before, but somehow I was part of this fellowship leadership organization. And then the coaching was one of the benefits or the perk of joining the fellowship program. And I just met my coach for the first time. And it was a very transformative experience. Like for the first time in my life, I had someone who's not a family member or friends who had no agenda, like didn't want anything from me, but just wanted me to become the best that I can be, who asked really good questions to get to know myself and then to be really honest about what I really want and then to have set goals that were aligned with my values and then to take action to achieve them. So I was really envious of what she did, but I kept talking myself out of it. I was like, oh, but I'm a lawyer. How am I going to leave this? Like, you know, I'm going to throw everything that I worked so hard for, right? But eventually I took a chance at it because I have an older sister who was like, didn't you write a whole book about pursuing dreams and start a community? Like, why don't you follow your own advice? And I was like, oh, you're right. So I ended up signing up at the same coaching school that she got certified from. And even then I was telling myself, no, I'm not really leaving law or quitting. You know, I'm just learning it. So maybe I could create programs for the community that I was building. But the first day of school, I feel like I came home and it was very strange and surreal experience. I was a room full of strangers because we had just met, the school just started, right? But I felt like I was wearing like really comfortable clothes that fit me so well. And I could just be me and do this really well. And never really felt that way in a professional setting before. So it wasn't, you know, like it wasn't necessarily planned, but it just turned out that like, yeah, I think then at that point, it made all the sense. Like everything that I experienced, all the challenges that I've experienced now enables me to do the work that I do. So it was a long road to get to where I am now, but you know, it's deeply meaningful. I get to support people like me, you know, me several years ago, many years ago, and then that I can really relate to the experience and really, you know, help them in the best way that I can.
Wow. Yeah, that's, and a lot of it resonates, I'm sure, with a lot of the audience. I know a lot of that resonated with me personally when you started off talking about, you know, just always pursuing the next goal. And then when you finally get to, let's say, the final goal, you're just sort of like, well, what's next? And I kind of had a similar experience when I started working as a full-time lawyer. No, prior to that, it's always like, okay, I'm going to law school, take the LSAT, get into law school, like do well in your finals, then take the bar, get a job. And then you're there. And I remember like feeling like I'm looking around, like, what's my next goal? Like, is this it? You know, it feels weird. Like you don't really have something you're working towards in a way. And it can be very, very overwhelming and unsettling.
Yeah.
When you're so used to, you know, kind of just shutting looking for something. glad you've shared this. I think that's a very common thing for those investing in the legal profession, especially since the path to become a lawyer is very long.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of art. It's, you know, a lot of goals make up that whole journey.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, right? Like that drive, right, to do things because you know that it will help you achieve your goal is actually what helped us, you know, go to law school, you know, graduate, take the bar exam, get a law job, you know, start the legal career. So it's interesting that like it can be seen as a skill, right, in some ways. But at the same time, if you only focus on that, like goal setting, and not give, like as you mentioned, Selena, like give yourself the opportunity to explore other things just because you want to do it for fun, then you kind of like, it's kind of like a detriment, right? So like it's interesting that there's a duality to it.
That's a great point. Yeah. It serves you really well in one area of your life, but you also need to remember work is not your entire life.
Right. Not a bad thing. Like, yeah, congratulate yourself for being able to even have this skill and cultivating it all these years. But at the same time, realize that sometimes it's not beneficial to use it all the time.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And definitely, I see this a lot amongst my lawyer clients. So now that I work as an executive career coach, I am in a very unique place to be able to hear people's thoughts that they probably wouldn't share with a lot of other people. And something that I see again and again amongst lawyers is that, you know, we're so fixated in achieving a goal. And that really has helped us to get to a certain point and maybe achieve a certain goal. But then they don't really give themselves the permission, and myself included, to explore other possibilities. And I've also seen that the identity of a lawyer can be a burden that, you know, like you said, you know, when we went through a lot to get our lawyer title, right? Took the LSAT, went through law school, took the bar exam. That was a lot of sacrifice. So when they think about, well, maybe, you know, I've been practicing law for quite some time and I wonder what else is out there, or maybe I don't find this to be very enjoyable or meaningful, or I'm ready for a new challenge. The identity of a lawyer kind of keeps them stuck. That they somehow think that if I leave law or do something else other than actually practicing law, somehow I am a quitter or I'm going to throw away everything. But I think that type of a unhelpful thinking is going to keep them stuck. Another thing that I see that's a challenge amongst legal profession is that we tend to issue spot our dreams. Think about all the things that could go wrong before we even, you know, spot our dreams. And I think issue spotting, you know, if you know how to do it well, you probably did well in your law school exams. And so what helps you to become a great lawyer is not going to help you to build a great career. So one skill set, like you said, can be helpful in achieving a certain goal, but it could be preventing you or keeping you stuck in other areas of your life. I think career exploration or career path is the one that it doesn't have a very rigid answer. There's no one path to creating a fulfilling and meaningful life or to creating a fulfilling career path. I think you need to be very open and flexible and be curious and be willing to try a lot of different things. But if the first thing that you think about when you are entertaining a new possibility is for you to issue spot what's going to happen, you know, like you're never going to give yourself the permission to try it, because then there will be a lot of fear, and fear keeps you to not act. And I've seen that this is why so many lawyers who are very smart and very hardworking just stay stuck and they don't do much with all the talents that they have. So something that I hope that, you know, we can change.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, right? Like what makes you a great attorney is being able to issue spot the issues. But you know, being able to issue spot, and like we place so much emphasis on like detail orientation.
Right.
Right? Detail oriented.
That's right.
Right. And like perfection. I feel like the need to be perfect or be the need to see everything all at once and catch everything as it comes in is so ingrained in the legal profession that like it
it kind of, as you mentioned, like keeps us from pursuing our own like own personal development, because then we apply it to our own personal lives and then we like beat ourselves up because we're not perfect at this, or we try something and it just sucks, or we try something and then this issue comes up, it's like I should have seen that, or you know, whatever. So yeah, it's just something interesting.
When I remember, for me, when I was trying to explore what my life was outside of my identity as a lawyer, I was trying to pick up new hobbies and understand. One thing that kind of kept me stuck for a while was feeling like I needed to be perfect. Like if I choose this one hobby, I have to see it through. I have to be like decent at it and like commit to it for a full year. And that really prevented me from doing a lot of things. Like I remember at the time talking to friends, they were like, it's just a hobby or some interest. Like you're saying, Selena, it's exploration. That doesn't mean that you have to commit to it. You don't know if you like it. You don't know if to stick to it. But part of the journey is trying, and you're just exploring for interest sake. It's not sort of, you know, you need to meet this goal or be perfect at it. So I think that point like really resonates. And Selena, for you, when you finally gave yourself permission to explore, what was sort of your mindset? How did you even do that? Because, you know, obviously one obstacle, the first one, is really giving your permission to do it. But once you do, were you thinking about it more from potential other career options or just personal interests and hobbies, and kind of piggybacking off of that? Because I'm assuming you are so engrossed and ingrained in this legal field, it's like, who am I, right? Like, how do you even go about exploring what do I like outside of this? And what can I do outside of this, you know, legal framework?
Yeah, and I was definitely at that point in my life where I felt like I had achieved all the goals that I had wanted, but I was not happy or fulfilled. And I think that that's actually harder. Like, than say if you had a goal you wanted to achieve and you didn't achieve it and you're unhappy, well, then work harder to achieve the goal. You have something to work hard towards, right? But if you did achieve all the goals and you're still unhappy, unfulfilled, it's not what you thought you had, it would be like if you did achieve the goal, then where do you go from there? I think it's so hard at that point. It can really be debilitating to know that you're a hardworking person, you did everything that you're supposed to, and you still feel like it's not what you had wanted out of your life, and you sacrifice so much to get there. So I had this kind of a feeling like where I worked so hard to, you know, achieve my goals and I won the race, but I was in the wrong race. Nobody told me that I need to think about which race to sign up for before I begin. And nobody told me that. And I think what I felt was so frustrating was that, like, growing up, you know, we spent so much time learning some subject matters in school, or, you know, in law, we take all these law school classes, or at work where, you know, we are given assignments that we're supposed to do for our boss and, you know, for the team or whatever. But like, we never learn the most important skills is how to figure out our life and career. Like, nobody taught us that. There was no blueprint or formula for it. And that somehow, like, how many of us actually knew what practicing law was like until we actually became a lawyer? Law school does not teach that. I would say majority of the people became lawyer without even knowing what actually it entails. Like, what is it really like to be a lawyer? Like there's no way to find that out, right? So it was incredibly frustrating. So I became this person who achieved all the goals and I collected all these accolades on my resume, but I was, you know, I just felt like there was no meaning in my life and I couldn't see myself doing it for the rest of my life. And so I was like, how did I get here? Like, I worked so hard, but I became a person who doesn't even know what she wants. And I realized that I've always been in my own way of trying different things. So like I said before, you know, if I wanted to do something, I'll be like, but is that going to like me make my resume better? Or is that going to help me get into better school or get a better job? And if I feel like it wouldn't, then I would not do it. So I was basically spending all my time trying to impress other people and to really not listening to my own self or to my own interests or curiosities. So then when I was going through this, you know, chapter of my life, I made a promise to myself from now on, whatever I want to do, I'm going to give myself permission to try different things, even if it has nothing to do with my current job, even if I think that it's not going to help my resume. I don't know that, but if I think that it won't, like, I'm still going to try it. So anything that I find to be fun or meaningful or interesting, I'm going to give myself permission to do it. So this is when I thought about the idea of writing a book. And years ago, you know, when I was living in Korea, I had only gone to elementary school in Korea. But I thought, you know, as a young child, I loved reading children's books. And I thought, hey, well, maybe one day when I, you know, grow up, it would be so cool to have my own book with my own name on it. And it was always a childhood dream of mine. But of course, you know, as you grow older, you're busy with your life. You never think about it. But I guess that dream was still kind of alive in my heart. And that's when I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go write a book. And at the time, I was just trying a lot of different things. And I was a host of a small talk show here in New York City. And it was a cable television where I would just meet different people. And I guess that was my way of kind of meeting people outside of the legal industry. Like, all my friends were lawyers, and virtually everybody was kind of unhappy, especially in big law as a corporate lawyer. You know, it's really hard to have any time off to be able to do anything, you know. And I just was really kind of wanting to meet different people with different experiences. And because I was at that point in my life where I was saying yes to a lot of random things and different things, I got an opportunity to host a small talk show. And that's when I learned, like, wow, there are people who do cool other things, you know, cool things, other things that are very different from what I know. Because most of my friends were lawyers or in finance. And I found out that I'm a person who loves people and hearing their stories. I didn't know that, actually, you know? I mean, looking back, I think I was always like that. But I didn't have that level of understanding. And then when I thought about my childhood dream, I always thought that one day I would write my own book. If I can, that would be really cool. I didn't know what type of a book. But because out there trying different things, I was hosting this talk show and I love people's stories, I thought, oh, maybe I could interview people and write their stories. And because I was at that point in my life where I was kind of trying to figure out my career direction, and I was really interested to know, how do other people figure out what they want to do with their life? Because we don't learn that. Nobody teaches us that, right? And so not just people who have achieved a lot of success that's just on paper, you know, maybe they have cool titles and whatnot, but who I feel like really seem to be enjoying what they did and were living fulfilling lives. How did they figure that out? Like, what road, you know, got them to where they are now? So that was my biggest question. And I interviewed 9 people in 9 different industries and interviewed them in English because they're mostly all Korean Americans. But I wrote the book in Korean. My mom thought it was crazy. She's like, never gonna happen for you. Who do you think you are to write a book? You know, it's a whole nother story. How I think Asian parents are very protective of you. And, you know, she didn't think that I had what it takes to make my goal a reality. But in the end, I did prove her wrong. And she was surprised. And I asked her, like, why were you so against it? Because it was pretty hurtful. Because she said, you know, nobody's going to read your book. One, you can't get it published and no one's going to read it even if you do get it published. And later on, I asked her, like, why were you so against it? And she for the first time in her life, she apologized to me. She said, I'm sorry, I won't apologize. And she said, I really thought you couldn't do it. So I was trying to protect you from getting hurt. And that's when I knew parents don't want the best for us. They actually don't know what is best for us. I think from their point of view, if the road you're about to embark on has a high rate of failure, because their job as a parent is to protect you from getting hurt, they're going to do whatever they can to stop you. But they don't know what you're capable of. Like, they don't know what we're capable of, you know, because they're not us. And we don't even know what we're capable of until we give it a try. Like, I didn't know that I was a person who's capable of writing a book until I actually wrote one, right? So I think it's understanding, and sometimes people's advice, including our parents, you know, their understanding of what we're capable of may be very different from our true potential. So I'm really glad that I didn't listen to my mom. And then, yeah, so, you know, the book did well. And then that kind of gave me an understanding of, like, oh, I'm a person who really loved people and their stories. And then that eventually made me to launch my own podcast and also, I guess, pivot, to transition into coaching as well. So if you actually think about it, it's those little experimentation or trying different things, saying yes to things that, you know, started off from like random talk show. And they barely paid me anything. It was like barely paid enough to cover for my transportation, right? It was pretty much a volunteer position, but I was so desperate for a new experience or just anything. said yes to that. That led to the book and then to the community that I was building, podcasts and coaching, right? So I wasn't necessarily thinking, I'm going to like, you know, change my career. I'm going to like do something. Even when I wrote my book, I was still practicing law and I didn't really have any plans or thought that I'm going to, you know, quit anytime soon. But eventually, you know, that's what led me to where I am now, because I sat down and one day looked at like, you know, I seem to have a lot of different interests. And there was a point in my life where I was kind of, you know, frustrated that why haven't I figured out the one thing, you know, like everybody seems to have their own one thing, whether they're an investment banker or maybe they're an engineer or they're a lawyer. But like my resume, if you look at it, is like all over the place. Like I don't seem to have one thing. And then I was like really frustrated. And then one day I was like, you know what, even though I have tried a lot of things that seem to be not related to each other, of all the things that I've tried, the ones that brought me true joy and meaning all involve people and stories. And that was a common theme. And I was like, well, I found it now. Anything that I do from now on will have to involve those things, people and stories. And that's, I think, eventually what gave me the courage to go into coaching. So if anyone listening out there is like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. Maybe I'm not 100% fulfilled in what I do now. Where do I even start? I would say just give your permission to try different things. One easy thing to start out with is actually what I did also is try a new experience every week. So like, when's the last time you've done something for the first time, right? Like probably, you know, when I first heard this, I think it was a quote. I was like, I can't remember the last time I did anything for the first time. You know, I was always hanging out with the same group of friends, going to the same place, doing the same thing. Then you really can't change if you're always doing the same thing and talking to the same people. So it could be very small little thing. It could be taking a walk to a different place or going to meet up with a different person or having a new conversation, going to a different show, or maybe even go to a cafe and order a different drink, order a different menu, kind of change things up a bit. And then that gets you into the mind of like, well, I'm a person who's up for new experiences. And I think all of those new experiences eventually could accumulate you into being ready for a new change or new chapter. So that's what was helpful to me.
That's wonderful. Fine. Yeah. And it's hard. And it's like so actionable too, right? Like it's small enough that people are like, I can do that. Like I can change my order or I can go out for a small walk. I think like one of the things that keeps us frozen is that like, oh, we have to take this giant step. So like, I love your advice because it's like, it shows. And even your story too, like all the little things, like exploring the little things that you enjoy, all accumulated to sort of where you are now, right? Like it's about following your joy, following what brings you passion, maybe like giving yourself the permission to explore new things that will eventually lead you down a different path if you want to, right? Like you don't have to, but it all starts with a small step, which like so cliche, but like it's so true, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's the big ones, like Bonham said, it can be overwhelming and sort of lead you to analysis paralysis where you're just frozen and you won't do anything. But doing a suggestion of say ordering a different drink when you go to Starbucks next time. Like doing little things like that, I feel like it sort of exponentially increases your confidence and kind of empowers you. Like, well, I made this one change. It wasn't scary. It was this actionable thing. And then you kind of keep doing it and building on it. It's like it's sort of that muscle of like trying new things.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it.
Yeah, because like I know for me, from personal experience, like I am so resistant to change, right? That like small things like that, like really helps build your muscle. So yeah.
Selena, how did you have time to do all this? As you were still working in big law, and as you were describing all these wonderful opportunities, big and small, that you were, you know, pursuing, I kept wondering, how did she have time to do all this?
Well, I couldn't when I was in big law, and I had eventually moved in-house to, and I was still, you know, practicing law, but I was always trying to get away from law a little bit. I always wanted to be more on the business side. But it's hard once you have that legal background. So if that's the case, then you have to make different choices, whether that's going in-house or maybe taking a different job that will enable you or to have the time to explore other things. So, and so I think that's important. Also, another thing is people, maybe with an exception of people who work in big law, but people do have more time than they realize. We do waste a lot of time on either on social media or doom scrolling or maybe watching Netflix, right? So if you think about all the time, you don't, maybe if it's relaxing for you, that's okay. But a lot of times we're in this mode of like inaction, not by choice, but because we just feel so like tired all the time. And there's little pockets of time and added up, you know, it could be a big chunk of time. And you want to use that to do something else, you know, whether that is learning something or taking a class. Or, and one thing that I also advise people is to don't spend all of your time with the same type of crowd. You know, if you are a lawyer and if you're thinking of maybe doing a different type, practicing different types of law, or if you want to leave law and try something else, the desires of the people around you will affect your own choices. If everybody around you are a lawyer and you're, that was me, it was really hard for me to think differently. So I think what helped was I just try to spend more time with people outside of law, and I met more creative people, and I hosted a talk show, I wrote a book, and I think the people around you affect who you become and the choices that you make. So I think not to say like, you know, abandon your friends, your lawyer friends, but you don't need to go to every single legal function because it's virtually the same people who hang out at all the places. And you want to go out and meet some different people who are doing cool things. I think that way it kind of expands the possibility or what might be possible for you too. So you have to make time if it's important for you.
Well, I think we are helping, but thank you. Yeah, but that was a great way to end. So thank you so much, Selena. And it's been such a pleasure like speaking with you and learning more about your experience. And you have such like great insights too and great advice. So it's really like such a pleasure.
Yes.
I've definitely learned a lot.
Yeah.
I feel very inspired right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna maybe go get a coffee shop later.
Or maybe get a different drink.
Wade Hall.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Flex that muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. And then I would love to hear from if you know anyone listening has a question, they're welcome to ask me. I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. I'm Selena Lee, spells with C-E-L-I-N-A, not with S-E-L-E-N-A. I know some of the podcast listeners may not know that. And then I have some resources that might be helpful for people. So I actually just made a quiz called What's the One Thing Stopping From You and Your Fulfilling Career? And it's on my website. So selenalee.co/quiz. So people can take that. I also have a 3-step guide to finding your fulfilling career. So it kind of breaks down the framework that I teach to my coaching clients. So that might be helpful. So yeah, but I'd be happy to answer any questions people might have. And yeah, be good to hear from you.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. I just made it. I would love for you to take it and then give, you know, share with me your results.
Sounds good. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for Hello, It's Me. This podcast is brought to you by the Asian American Bar Association of New York, a not-for-profit membership organization that advocates for New York's Asian Pacific American attorneys. Support our pro bono work for our community and fight against anti-Asian hate at aabany.org or on social media at aabany. The Professional Development Committee is led by Nanda Wing Kerr and Mei Wong, produced by Francis Chen, hosted by Ona Liu and Maggie Pond. Music is Easy Lemon by Kevin McLeod of IncompiTech.com. License under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 License. This podcast is copyright 2024 by Asian American Bar Association of New York.